Blog Talk Radio.
Be set free, be healed, be made whole at Miracle Temple. Deliverance Ministries, where miracles happen. Be set free, be healed, be made whole at Miracle Temple. Deliverance Ministries at Miracle Temple, where Christ lives in me.
Welcome to Miracle Temple Deliverance Ministries, where miracles happen. Apostle Amanda Walker Bryant wants to make sure you get all that you need through the Word of God. Let us join Apostle Bryant as she teaches the infallible Word of God.
Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. And we thank God for the reading of His Word. And while His Word is going forth, we don't want any talking. We want to honor Him through His Word. Amen. When we get there, let us say amen. Amen. Romans chapter 1, verse 21 says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. You may be seated. I want to talk about glorifying and thanking God. Glorifying and thanking God. The Word of God says that when they knew God, that they glorified Him not as God. When we look at knowing God, that's becoming acquainted with God. That's acknowledging God for who He is. When you know Him and you become acquainted with Him, then you can glorify Him. And some of us, you know, say that we know God, but if you haven't spent that time with God now, you can accept Him as your Lord and as your Savior, and that's it. That's all you do is say, I already accepted Him. I'm not going to hell. I'm going to make it in. But it's more to it than just that. Anytime that you get introduced to someone, and as you get introduced to them, you should become acquainted with them. You should be able to acknowledge them. And the more you become acquainted with them, the more you want to be around them. The more we become acquainted with God, the more we become acquainted with His Word, the more we are ready to trust Him, the more we're ready to say, God, I love You because You first loved me. If you don't have that acquaintance, if you don't have that relationship with Him, you're just looking at Him just like you're looking at anybody else. You know, some people say, I can love you from a distance, but I beg to differ. Because as you notice that, when you have family, you have friends around you, and you all come together, you laugh, you cry together, and you're in the same house, and maybe you may be next door, and you see each other every day. You get so used to seeing that person, you become acquainted with that person. But when that person leaves, you know that person is gone. You know a part of you have left because you have become so acquainted with that person. You know their laugh. You know how they sound. You can just hear them because there's a part of your heart that you have kept them in. Your heart is like a treasure, and anything that you treasure, you're going to keep it in your heart. You're going to keep it in a safe place. When our loved ones leave, we can sit there and we can reminisce, and we can begin to remember their laugh. We can begin to remember what they last said, or we can remember what they wore, or how they act, or how they cared for us. We remember those things because we have become acquainted with them. We have developed a relationship with them, and this relationship has become so dear to us. We don't let anybody come between that relationship. When a man and woman get married, they become one. And if you hurt that man, you have hurt that woman. Yet you ain't said nothing to that woman, but that man is hurt. So being that that woman is a part of that woman is going to hurt as well. And it's the same thing with vice versa. So what I'm saying to you is when you become acquainted with God, when you come to know God, Nobody should be getting in the way of your relationship with God. And the problem is, what God was showing me is, the reason why things are not showing forth in our lives that God has already done is because we really don't know him. That's the first thing. When you know a person, you can trust the person. You're able to hear what he or she says. And when they say it, it don't matter what nobody else says. I know growing up, if your parents told you if you fell and your leg or arm was hurting so bad and they said, oh, you all right, go ahead, you would take their word even though you were feeling the pain, because you would say, Mom and Daddy ain't going to lie to me. They say I'm okay, so I'm just going to go on about my business. And all of a sudden, it seemed like your body goes back to where it was. Because Mama and Daddy told you it was okay. I'm here to tell you I have Abba. I have a father that loved me so much that even yet, while I did not accept him, he already had a plan. He already had a purpose for me. God had already given me everything that I needed through his son. And when we become acquainted with him, no one or nothing should be before him. So your first step is to become acquainted with him. Why? Because when things come up in your life, you know that you can run to him if you can't run to no one else. Now, don't get me wrong. Husbands and wives, you know, I know that you love one another and you say, I'm here for her and she's here for me. But there's sometime a man or a woman can't do for you like God can. They may can hold you. They may tell you it's okay. But when you become acquainted with God, you're not running to them. You're running to your secret place. Because the word tells me, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide up under the shadows of the Almighty. So when you run to that secret place, you know that God is going to hide you, that God is going to shield you, and there's going to be some peace that nobody can give you, perfect peace, complete peace that passes all understanding, and it's going to guard your heart and your mind because it's coming through Christ Jesus. I want to ask you today, do you have a relationship with God? Have you become so acquainted with God that no matter what comes or who say this or who say that, that you can go in that secret place and know that God is hiding you from everything that's going on around you? There need to be a place with God that you be like a tree that's planted beside the rivers of living waters, that when the storms come and the winds blow, that tree is still planted and even the leaves and stuff don't wither. Why? Because you planted beside the living waters. And that's where God wants us. He wants our relationship with him to be above any relationship. And the problem today is we began to say, I love that man and I love that woman so much that that's my mate. That's the one I'm going to spend the rest of my life with. And we think that that's real agape. That ain't agape love. See, agape love is when you come together and come what may, you love them in spite of them, in spite of what they can or cannot do, in spite of how they talk about you, in spite of how they ridicule you. You can say, I love you with agape love. And the reason why I can love you with agape love, because I have become acquainted. I have a relationship with God. And until you have that relationship with him and spend that time with him, everything that hits you in your life, you're going to be glorifying that more than you glorify him. So that's why it says when they knew him, when they became acquainted with him, they glorified him not as God. And that's why God is bringing in here today to say, I'm not being glorified. And what glorified mean is to extol, to praise, to esteem, to magnify. When you esteem something, it has great value. It's above everything and everyone else. God said, I want to be in a place of your life that you put me above everybody and everything else. And how do you do that? By coming acquainted with me, by getting to know me, that you should know when I say I'll never leave you, when I say I'll never forsake you, when I say I will be with you even until the end, that you have got so acquainted with me that you can value me above your situation, above what's going on in your life. God said, do you value me above your problem? Are you magnifying your problem more than you magnifying me? Because if you're magnifying your problem more than you magnifying me, you have not become acquainted with me. Oh, it hurts. I'm telling you, when you magnify what you're going through, when you're complaining and you're mumbling all the time, and instead of giving God glory, instead of valuing him more than you valuing what you're going through, that means that God is above that. Have we put God above what we're going through? Or are we still talking about what we're going through more than we're valuing God? See, when you become acquainted with someone, it don't matter what no one say. You know them well enough to know he ain't going to leave me. He's not going to forsake me. How do you know? Because he's Elohim. He's the creator. How did you know? Because he's El Roi. He knows what I'm going through. He sees and he knows everything about me. I have become acquainted with him. I remember when I was going through that depression and it seemed like my whole world was crumbling. I didn't know which way to go. I didn't know who to turn to. But I remember how Granddaddy used to talk all the time about the Lord, and I would hear people talk about him. I said, well, I'm going to turn to the Lord. And when I turned to him, it was like something was still missing. It was just like it was just something that was just still pulling and tugging at me. And I said, okay, God, what is it? What do you want me to do? God wanted me to become so acquainted with him that I can let depression know you don't have room in my life. I value God more than I value you. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to extol him more than I'm praising you. I'm going to honor him. I put God above depression, and I say, God, I don't have to be depressed because Jesus died for this depression. So I'm getting ready to glorify you and put you above depression and oppression. And I'm telling you, the more I become acquainted with God, I begin to think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, and my soul began to cry out, hallelujah, I thank God for saving me. Why? Because I valued him. Some people wonder, how did you get through that? There's no way you could have got through it. I'm telling you, because you become acquainted with God. And because you have a relationship with him, you look into the hills from which cometh your help, because you know without a shadow of a doubt that your help cometh from the Lord. And when you know for sure that that's where your help comes from, you can begin to praise him. You can begin to magnify him because you say, God, you above that. And if you above that, God, I know I don't have to put up with it no more, because the more I glorify you, that problem is so small, it's not like it appears to be, because I'm giving you the glory. So to glorify him, that means to value him above anything or anyone else. Have we really gotten there yet? Because in Matthew, the 10th chapter, it talks about when Jesus was telling his disciples, he said, 10:37, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And then in Luke, the 14th chapter, it goes on to say wife or brother or sister. So he said, when you put them above me, you're not worthy of me. And what he's saying, he's telling you that he's not saying don't love them. He said, but when you put them above me, when you value them more than you value me, you're not worthy of me. You're not worthy to be my disciple. Worthy means worthy of one's fellowship and the blessings connected with it. So he said, you're not worthy to be even in fellowship with me. So that means that if our love is more for our family than it is for God, we really haven't accepted him. How do I know? Because God gives you his love to love him. He said, my love is shed abroad in your heart. It's poured out through the Holy Ghost. So if you love family more than you love me, it's because you have not truly had fellowship. You have not truly accepted me. Some people say, I beg you to differ. Come on, when God gives you his love, when God gives you that agape love, he said, I gave you my love to love me with. But the problem is you ain't let go of them and connected truly with me. You cannot allow family to take you out of the will of God. That's how you know who you value the most. When someone tells you in your family, whether it's your husband, your sister, your brother, your father, your mother, whoever it may be, when they tell you, don't you do that, and the word of God tells you to do it, and then you don't do what God say, God say you esteeming them more than you esteeming me. You putting them before you put me. God said, I want to be glorified. I want to be valued. I want to be above them. And if we sit down and think about it, God is reminding me, he said, now the ones that are truly, truly saved, don't get me wrong, let me explain it. You can be saved, but you're still putting other folks ahead of God. And when you develop that relationship with God, when you become acquainted with God, you will put God above them. But if you have not truly accepted God with your whole heart, if you have not truly said, God, I need you as my Lord and Savior, you ain't valuing him. You're not truly loving him because the love of God ain't in you. And when the love of God is in you, you can love those who hate you. You can bless those who curse you. Some people say, I can't love them. Well, how can you say you love God? If you can't love your brother, if you can't love your sister, how can you say, God, I love you, when they are from God? So we have to become acquainted with God. In order to be here on this earth, we have to know him. We have to develop a relationship with him. He has to be number one in our lives. In the word of God, when Jesus, after he had gotten born, you know, the Holy Spirit had come upon him, Jesus went out to get disciples. And the disciples that he went out to get, they were fishermen. They left their occupation to follow him. They didn't say, you know, let me do this or let me do that. They left everything to follow Jesus. If Jesus told you, he said, I want you to quit your job because this is what I want you to do. What do you value more? Do you value what he's saying or do you value your money more than you value God? Some of us would say, that ain't God. He don't want me to quit my job because if a man don't work, he don't eat. But if you got a relationship with God and God tell you to come off of that job, you ain't worrying about how you're going to make it. You're not worrying about this or that because you valuing him more than you valuing what you have. When I come off my job and God told me to come off that job, there was no insurance. There were no benefits. There were no life insurance. I come off with nothing. You would think after 13 years, I would come off a job with a little something, something. I come off stripped of everything. And I say, God, I trust you because I know that you're the one that told me to come off this job. I ain't worrying about what family think. I ain't worrying about what nobody think because you're God and I value you more than I value this job. And I'm here to tell you, when I laid down the job, I haven't missed anything. Why? Because God said, you value me more than you value material things. So you got to get to a place that you're so acquainted with God. When God says, this is what I want you to do, and it looks out of the norm, you got to say, yes, God, I hear you. And I value you above what I feel and above what I think. Have we gotten to the place that we can stop everything except what God tells us to do? These disciples even left their father. They were working with their father. They left the occupation. They left their father on the boat, and they kept on going. Why? Because they valued God more than they valued even family and even occupation. And somebody is saying, now surely God ain't going to tell you to leave your family. Surely he will if there's something he has for you to do. But guess what? He will make accommodations for that family. Because God ain't going to tell you to do something that he's not going to fulfill what he told you to do. That's why, go back, you got to know him. You got to become acquainted with him, because everything that God tells you to do, there's going to be nothing missing, nothing broken, because he's Jehovah Shalom. Now, if you out there doing it yourself, you're going to miss some things, because if God haven't told you to do it, you're going to go through some stuff. And God began to show me in the Word of God, dealing with Abraham. Everybody is so familiar with Abraham. But Abraham was so acquainted with God. Abraham had such a relationship with God that Abraham trusted God in spite of what was going on with Abraham. And when I went back and I was going over Abraham and Sarah, God began to show me that Sarah, God just shut up Sarah's womb. Actually, there was a womb there. He just shut up her womb so she could not have a child. And when he opened that womb, she was beyond age to have a child. So that's why it was saying barren, because she didn't have anything there at that old age to carry a child. But Abraham believed God. When God told Abraham that he was going to give him a son, even in his old age, Abraham believed God. He trusted God. We know that Hagar became pregnant with Abraham when he was in his 80s. But look at here. Then he come to be what? Was it 100 or 99? Here he is getting ready to have Isaac. Okay, he got Isaac. 25 years of waiting on Isaac. Then one day God said, Abraham, I want you to take your one and only son, and I want you to sacrifice him. He said, I'm going to test you. He said that word tempt means to test, to prove. He said, I'm going to see, Abraham, if you value this son more than you value me. I'm going to see if you esteem him, if you praise him more than you praise me. See, God know who you praise and esteem more than you esteem him. Who are you spending more time with? What are you spending more time with? That's who you are valuing. That's what you are valuing. Are you in your word more, or are you doing other things more? Who do you value more, other things or God? So Abraham, when God told him to do that, Abraham took the son, the one and only son that he waited on 25 years, and he was obedient unto God. And here come Isaac. Isaac said, Father, where is the sacrifice? Abraham had such a relationship with God. He said, Son, God will provide. He had such a relationship that even before the son had asked him this, he told the servants, wait here, we will be back. So he knew, he said, even if God slay him, God is going to bring him back to life. Because everything that God gives you, God ain't going to take from you. So he had an assurance that no matter which way God went, he was going to be satisfied. Because he had a relationship with God. And y'all know in the Word of God that he had his son down there getting ready to slay his son. And the angel told him, don't touch the son, because it was a ram in the bush. And God said, I know now, Abraham, that you value me above your one and only son. Look at God. What do we value more? What are we esteeming more? What are we praising more than we're praising God? The reason why we praise those things more is because we have become more acquainted with those things. Do y'all know that money is an idol? Because I'm going to tell you how money is an idol. Some people say, I don't worship money, but when I get finished, you're going to realize that you do. And the reason why I say that we do worship money, some of us are so stingy, we won't help nobody but ourselves. Amen. Some of us, when we not knowing we're not going to help nobody but ourselves, look in our hands and see $5, and we hold on to that $5 so tight because we act like we ain't getting nothing else. That's your idol. Anything that you hold on so tight is what you value. Anything that you won't let go of is what you value. Come on, help me, somebody. Come on, money is an idol. Because before we say yes, we got to look at what we have. But if God's telling you to give something, you ain't looking at what you have. You valuing God more than you valuing what you have. Come on. Who are we valuing more than we're valuing God? Because when we come acquainted with God, if God says it, we know that God is not going to tell you anything wrong. We shouldn't even have to question God when we hear God tell us to do something. We shouldn't say, are you sure, God? Are we calling God a liar? We should do what God requires of us to do. Why? Because he loves us, and he will not tell us to do anything that will hurt us. But our problem is we allow fear to come in. And when fear come in, fear begin to paralyze you. Fear stops you from doing what God requires you to do. How does fear come in? Because the enemy say, if you give that, what are you going to have? Who's going to help you? You know you don't have nobody to give you anything. You better hold on to what you got. You know you can't go to the banks no more. Your credit ain't good. So if you give up that, you're going to have nothing, and they're going to have. But what did God say? See, you valuing God above what you see. You valuing God above what it looks like or what it appear to be. Why? Because you have become acquainted with God. Ask your neighbor, say, neighbor, how much do you know God? Say, how much have you become acquainted with God? Say, when you become acquainted with him, you begin to glorify him. Now, there was another man in the Bible. His name was Eli. And Eli had some sons that was worshipers of Belial. That means that that was evil. They called that Belial. That was wickedness. And they were priests. They were in the temple. They were laying with women that come to the temple door. They were taking more of the portions that was coming into the temple. And Eli knew this. But Eli did not take his sons from priesthood. He let his sons continue to do what they were doing. And God warned Eli, but Eli still didn't do what he's supposed to do. That means that Eli valued his sons more than he valued God. Anytime, I don't care if it's your children and you see your children doing something that's not right and you know it's not right and you're in the midst of what they're doing and you continue to allow them to do it, that means you're valuing those children above what God's word says. And one thing that we got to learn is God is above anything and anybody because he's El Elyon. Thank you, Lord, the most high God. So we have to really develop our relationship with God so we won't be putting anyone or anything before God. When I was doing this teaching and I began to study through the word of God, you can see the ones that valued him. You can see the ones that trusted him. You can see the ones that left everything to do what God told them to do. Paul was one that valued God. Even through being shipwrecked, even through being beaten, even through being persecuted, Paul valued God more than he valued man. Paul refused to bow down to man. He carried out what God wanted him to carry out. Why? Because he put God above them. Peter and John, when they got beat for using his name, Peter and John didn't bow down to them. They said, I'd rather obey God than obey man. So when you value him, you don't put man's opinion above God. You don't try to satisfy man just to have acquaintances or just to have friends. You value him more than you value what people think. And some of us worry about what people think. You shouldn't be worrying about what people think if this is what God is telling you to do. When you're teaching the word of God, you don't try to sugarcoat that word to get people to like you. That means that you value people's opinion more than you value the word of God. That shouldn't happen. And if you're looking at how people feel versus what the word is saying, that means that you want to become more acquainted with them than you are the word of God. What are you valuing more? Because whatever you value is what you're going to glorify. That's who you're going to thank. So God said he want to be glorified. God said he want to be esteemed above anything else in your life. If you have a situation and you have a problem, what are you going to glorify, the situation, the problem? Or are you going to say, God, in spite of, I'm going to give you glory.
Thank you for tuning in to our broadcast on today. If you have a testimony on how this broadcast has truly blessed your life, please call us at 866-907-6836. If you would like to find out the teaching in its entirety, you may contact us at 866-907-6836. You may write us at Miracle Temple Deliverance Ministries, Post Office Box 1042, Bergall, North Carolina, 28425. Visit us on the internet at www.mtdm.org.